Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to be presenting today on the epidemiology of utilization of emergency departments for non-traumatic dental conditions in the state of Minnesota. So we'll be looking at some trends, disparities, and potential for cost saving. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors here, Mary Jo Full, who is the dental director for the state of Minnesota, and John Bracer, who is our epidemiologist. So what exactly is this public health problem that we're talking about? So there has been a very stark increase in the use of emergency departments for non-traumatic or traumatic, for example, dental conditions nationally, and it has been a focus of the public health community in the recent past. And, for example, a study which was conducted by the American Dental Association showed that there was an increase there was a 90% increase from 2000 to 2010 in the number of ED visits per total dental visits nationally. And to much of our surprise, 41.8% of the non-traumatic conditions were related to dental caries. And furthermore, it has been explored and it has been described that it's a huge burden on the emergency department and it's taxing to the already limited resources, and that it's an expensive dental destination at the end. And states are spending millions of dollars on emergency department visits for non-traumatic dental conditions, resulting in no definitive care at the end of the day. The best treatment that a patient would receive in the emergency department, as seen in various studies, and it has been shown that the best treatment that they would receive is a physical exam, maybe a local anesthetic to alleviate the pain, or medication in form of opioid or non-opioid pain medication. So what exactly is the Minnesota story? I'm glad Dr. Amos Dinard is here. There was a study that was conducted by him in 2004-2005, and that was one of the first evidence for this problem in the state of Minnesota. And that led the State Department to think about conducting a statewide surveillance of this public health problem, and we tried to access data which would let us see what the problem is like across the state and get more representative estimates. So then we were able to receive access to the Minnesota Hospital Association data, which is a statewide hospital discharge data, and it's a representative data set, and it covers about 99.66% of the hospital population of the hospitals in the state, and it only excludes a few federal hospitals like the Veteran Affairs or the Indian Health Service, and so it is a quality data set. And then, as far as the case definition goes, we included any dental or any oral condition by principal diagnosis only, using ICD-9 diagnostic codes, and you can see that we include the traumatic and non-traumatic dental conditions to start off with. And the years were 2007 to 2012, and we are just starting to get access to 2013 data, so we're hoping to continue this surveillance. And we did use other data sources to append to this data set so that we could get a quality, extensive analytic data set. And so going forward to the methodology, one of the important considerations of this study was to develop a unique methodology that would categorize dental conditions and have a more inclusive outlook towards the case definition. So to start off with, we characterized any oral condition into traumatic or non-traumatic conditions. And each of those were further categorized into diseases of teeth and jaws or the diseases of mouth, excluding dental conditions. And then non-traumatic dental conditions being the point of concern, we further categorized them based on preventability and severity. So based on preventability, they were categorized into those likely to be benefited from preventive care. And though, for example, dental caries, which like we all know. And the other one would be unlikely to benefit from preventive care, for example, salivary gland infections. The next level of categorization was based on severity. So we categorize them as low severity conditions, for example, abnormalities of tooth eruption, or high severity conditions, for example, cellulitis. And the final part of the study methodology would be the statistical analysis, which are all conducted in SAS 9.3. And we looked at three parts of it would be looking at incidence rates, which was traumatic versus non-traumatic dental visits to the emergency department. So that was the descriptive part. And then we dived deeper into the non-traumatic dental conditions and conducted a subgroup analysis using multivariate logistic regression. And then we conducted a cost analysis for those non-traumatic dental visits using general linear regression. So So this slide is really heavy because there's a lot of statistics to talk about, but on the left, the crux of the matter on the left side of the slide is that the story in Minnesota was, as expected, similar to what we've seen, what we've been seeing nationally, that non-traumatic conditions were the majority that appeared in the emergency department, which contributed to 91.6% of all the visits over the 6 years. And the most common presentations used based on ICD-9 diagnostic codes were unspecified disorders of tooth and supporting tissues, periapical abscess without a sinus, and unspecified dental caries. And all, three of these were the most common presentations. And to the right of the slide, you will see that we have graphed out the incidence rates for non-traumatic and traumatic dental conditions in the state of Minnesota over the time period under consideration. And there was no significant time trend over these 6 years, except for the fact that non-traumatic conditions were consistently higher than the traumatic presentations. And then when we looked at traumatic versus non-traumatic dental conditions in the ED by age, and we looked at incidence rates per 100,000 persons, we did see a significant peak among those aged 15 to 44 years of age, that is the middle-aged adults were more likely to have visited the ED for a non-traumatic condition during these 6 years. And this data is aggregated over the six-year time frame. And then we dived into non-traumatic, because we did see and we did expect to see that non-traumatic conditions were the problem, and we dived deeper into a subgroup analysis of these conditions. And just some basic background is that all these variables are all adjusted for each other in the multivariate regression model, but I've tried to graph them out so that it's easier to talk about in a presentation. So when we looked at age, so, and all these are non-traumatic conditions alone, and so when we looked at age as a variable, which as a risk factor for visiting the emergency department for non-traumatic conditions, we saw that of all those who visited the ED for dental condition, those who were of the higher age categories were significantly more likely to have visited for a preventable condition than those who were of a lower age category. And but while when we looked at severity, there wasn't a significant linear trend, although those 18 to 44 years of age, which is the orange bar, the second one, were about 30% more likely to have visited the ED for a preventable condition than those who were less than 17 years of age. And then to the right, when we look at the payer type, which was available in our data set, the blue one is Medicaid, the orange one is Medicare, and the dark blue is self-pay. And all these three, like you can see in the graph, of all those who visited the ED for a dental condition during these 6 years, those under Medicaid, Medicare, or self-pay were significantly more likely to have visited the ED for a preventable or a low-severity dental condition than those who had private insurance. And then when we looked at, this is a slide that might be very relevant to the theme of the whole conference of healthography, that we used HRSA data, which categorizes counties and zip codes by health professional shortage areas, that is dental health professional shortage areas, into full county HPSAs, partial county HPSAs, and not a HPSA. And we linked that data set to our hospital discharge data, and we saw that of all those who visited the ED for a dental condition during these 6 years, for a non-traumatic dental condition during these 6 years, for those living in a full county HPSA were about twice as likely to have visited for a preventable condition than those not living in a health professional shortage area. And that increased likelihood for those in full county HPSA was also about 60% for severity, based on severity. So, and then moving forward, so when we looked at the slide of non-traumatic versus traumatic incidence rates, the first slide, we saw that there wasn't a significant time trend, really, but then when we categorized these non-traumatic conditions by preventability and severity, we did see that during the later years, there was a significantly more likely chance of being at the ED for a preventable or low severity condition than 2007. So we did see that preventable conditions were on the rise, low severity conditions were on the rise, but when we lumped them together, we did not see a significant pattern, which is where we saw that this categorization was useful. And finally, when we conducted the cost analysis using linear regression, before that, I'd like to talk about the table, which is at the top, which are the CRPS statistics, and we saw that over the 6 years, the mean cost per visit at the ED for a non-traumatic condition was about $500, and the median was about $146. And the state of Minnesota in total spent about $92.5 million on ED visits for non-traumatic dental conditions. So for the cost analysis, what we further did is two categories of preventable and two categories based on severity. We crossed them and we generated four categories, which were preventable and low severity, preventable and high severity, non-preventable and low severity, and non-preventable and high severity. And then we looked at the average cost associated with each of these categories for an ED visit. And we did see that preventable and low severity conditions were the most common non-traumatic presentations in the ED, and they cost about $200 on an average, while the preventable and high severity conditions were the second most common, but they cost about twice as much. And we do see a really huge number right there, the third row, which is the non-preventable and low severity, and I'd like to bring to notice that we did look at it, we tested it, we rechecked it, but we did see that the number was correct. And then when we went and dived in, we saw that most of those conditions were, 90% of those conditions were by, those presentations were by children below 18 years of age, and about 89% of those were related to bone morphologic issues, maxillary hyperplasia, anything that would have warranted an orthognathic surgery or an orthodontic procedure, for example. So now we are trying to, our next step is to go ahead and dive deeper and look at what procedures were conducted in the emergency room or in the hospital based on these diagnoses, and then see how that panned out. So, and I'd like to bring to notice that most of the, when someone goes back to look at emergency room utilization and a lot of studies that have been done, majority of them use charges, which is what we obtained from the Hospital Association data. But we were lucky enough to have a great health economics program who did share with us the cost to charge conversion ratios based on hospitals, and we were able to club that data with ours and generate costs which are known to be a better estimate based on some literature. And finally, in conclusion, we did see that the problem was existent in the state of Minnesota, and it needed attention. And we did see that there was a disproportionate burden among the high-risk populations, which would be those residing in health professional shortage areas, or those of a particular age group, or those under public programs, or those lacking insurance, lacking proper insurance. And then I would like to state that categorization by preventability and severity did let us unearth some more patterns. And I'd finally like to conclude by saying that all of us know that every ED visit for a non-traumatic dental condition is absolutely preventable, and we do hope to keep using this data set for surveillance purposes and generate methodologies which will help us going forward. Thank you so much.